Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Today I Learned, where we get a little controversial about some birthing techniques and pregnancy tests. And we close with our BFPs and BFNs. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. This is episode 117. Hey, Shauna.
Hey.
How are you doing? How old is that little growing toddler of yours?
So she is 20 months and 2 weeks, and she is growing. As you know, your guy's getting so big.
So big.
I know. Oh, my goodness. And her independence is just growing more and more as we approach 2 years old, which is awesome on one hand. I mentioned before she put on her own shorts that one day, and that just was like the opening the Pandora's box. She's like, oh, I can do things by myself. She puts on her shorts, her pants, her diapers. She like is drying herself off after her baths, washing her body. It's like, slow down, girl, slow down. You're 20 months old. You're my baby. Stay my baby. But
aww.
Yeah, it's cool though at the same time to see her have all of this awesome drive and initiative. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, I feel like she's setting up to be someone with a growth mindset. You know, that dichotomy from Carol Dweck, growth mindset versus fixed mindset.
Yeah. I've definitely read and heard about it. It's sort of the idea of, I've heard about it in the context of sort of our generation getting screwed over by not having the growth mindset.
I so have the fixed mindset. Oh my gosh.
The fixed mindset. But I think during the 80s, it was like very big to like praise children for everything they did. Mm-hmm. And I certainly got praised for a lot of things that maybe I didn't need to get praised for all the time. And yeah, I think it definitely took me until like college to realize like, oh, you should actually like work hard, like that, like feeling the accomplishment of mastery of something like is actually its own benefit as opposed to just getting a gold star.
Yes, exactly. That's like the main difference between the two. Growth mindset, you really appreciate the determination and mm-hmm. the process of learning and working towards something. Whereas the fixed mindset, it's more like, I enjoy being praised. I want people to think I'm smart. And that was definitely me. I think a lot of it's my personality. I don't want to blame my parents because, I mean, I just feel like I was born that way.
I'm definitely not blaming my parents. I'm blaming like society in general. We were definitely raised in the like participation trophy or at least participation ribbon age, I feel like.
Ribbon. Yeah. Do they do ribbons anymore? I haven't seen a damn ribbon in 25 years.
Good question. I have a lot of participation ribbons in sports hiding somewhere in my mom's closet.
Oh my gosh, ribbons. God, I lived for ribbons. Anyway,
right?
So
that demonstrates. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, that says so much about me.
So, but we think Cece might be different, might be embracing the growth mindset.
I think so, because in all of this independence, she is going for it herself. It's like, do you want me to help you? You know, she doesn't mm-hmm. want the help. She wants to do it herself, even if it takes forever and she's failing. So I think it's really, really cool to see her independence in that way. And the other really cool thing that's coming out of this is her bedtime routine, which I mentioned before, I switched her to a toddler bed at a relatively young age, 19 months, right? Mm-hmm. Total spontaneous idea.
Which at like 16 months, you had said that anyone who did that was crazy, right?
I always eat my words, or what is that?
Yeah.
I always do. But here I am. But Steve and I have both been pleasantly surprised. We watch her on the monitor, and oftentimes we'll lay her down, and she seems kind of sleepy, and she'll just get up, walk around, play a little bit, and then decide she's ready to go back to bed. And she just gets in and goes back to sleep. And I just feel like that would not have happened if we had switched Elle to a toddler bed at that age. So I think it's a distinct thing about her personality that I'm admiring.
That's very cool.
Yeah. But then, you know, on the other hand, it's also terrifying to see all this independence because she's climbing up on counters if she can. Uh-huh. She drags chairs to the counters, tries to climb up to get snacks. She climbs right up into her own high chair, sits down, tries to buckle herself when no one is around.
Oh my god,
you're killing me.
I have a climber. I totally understand.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, it's terrifying. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when they think they can do it themselves and like your back is turned for a minute. It's like, sorry, I can't keep it's my eye on her every minute.
Back is turned for a minute.
Always.
Or it's like when I tell him, like, I have to walk into the kitchen for a second just to grab this. I'll be right back. And he's like, now is my chance. Now is my chance to climb on top of the console table and dance and try to hop backwards. Like, no, thank you.
So scary, but I mean, so far so good. She hasn't broken any bones. Oh God, I feel nervous even saying that. But yeah, so just emerging independence, mm-hmm. big time from Cece. And so that's pretty much the only big thing to report this week. This week's going pretty well, which is awesome. And the only other little thing I wanted to bring up was some funny mispronunciations that my kids have been making since we've talked about it before.
Oh, yeah. These are the best.
Yeah. I find it so delightful. Cece first, I think she's getting her D's and her B's mixed up. So instead of like baby, she goes Didi. And no. I pride myself on being the only person who can decipher that, you know, and she's like, dee, dee, dee. I'm like, she's looking for her baby.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I'm mm-hmm. the same way with my guy. I just understand him perfectly most of the time. And then I notice Corey, who spends just as much time with him, is uh-huh. like, what do you want? What do you want? I'm like, he wants his City Blocks book. Don't you understand? He's going, Deepak, Deepak. And that's what he wants. Come
oh
on, guy.
I love that so much because I definitely speak to Steve with that same inflection sometimes after I hear her asking forever. And I'm just like, she wants her baby, you know, like,
don't you understand?
Right. When you put it that way, it's so ridiculous. It's like, don't you understand? She wants her Didi. It's like,
Didi?
Yeah. I don't know. We're in tune with the baby language, girl. I mean, what can we say?
We're little baby Rosetta Stone. Although I bet I wouldn't be able to understand Cece and you wouldn't be able to understand my guy.
No, nope, not until we spent more time together. Mm-hmm. And then Beep Beep, she recently is like very obsessed with mimicking beeps, which I know your guy did a while back. But she doesn't say beep, it's like deep, 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 deep. Deep. I'm like, oh, you made that word even cuter. So cute.
Their little voices are just the best.
I know, their voices are so great. I always try to make a concerted effort to either voice memo or video mm-hmm. them more at this age because it really is so cute and it's fun to go back and listen to, yeah, to how they speak now.
Yeah, my problem is that he notices when I video him. So I need to remember to voice memo because mm-hmm. if I start videoing, all he does is go, you baby, you baby. Have we talked about you baby?
Uh-uh.
Oh, his. So he used to just want to look at the phone to look at baby. He would go, baby, baby. And I'd say, you are the baby. You are the baby, right? Uh-huh, and so uh-huh. now whenever I bring my phone out, all he does is go, you baby, you baby. So like every video either starts or ends or is entirely made up of him going, you baby, you baby, you baby, and reaching for the phone.
You're like, mix it up, kid. I need some variety in our home videos.
Yeah, so you can still hear it in some of the voice memos, but he, you know, I can be like, there's no baby here. You just a red dot. Let's keep going.
Oh, that's so cute. And then the other couple cute, funny word things are actually from L, which I like to include because they only get funnier as the kids get older because they mix mm-hmm. up concepts and contexts and like make these interesting phrases. So the one we had like hot dogs and tater tots the other night, and I was like, oh, Harry, here's your tater tots. And for the rest of the night, she was calling them teeter tots. I'm like, oh my God, you're mixing up teeter totter and tater tots, and I'm not going to correct you because that's so cute.
That is so she's 4 and a half now, right?
She is. She's 4 and a half. And she's got an amazing vocabulary and grasp on language. So I just let her have these little slips because they amuse me so much.
You got to find the joy where you can find it.
Right. Exactly. The other one that really gets us is she's got a few Barbies or generic Barbies. I don't know. Whatever. Barbie, though. Right. Barbie with a B. Somehow she thinks it's Garby. With a G, Garby is what she's hooked on to. And she says it so casually. She's like, oh, can you hand me my Garby? And I'm just like, oh my God. That's so funny. Steve and I are like, that is like Barbie's underappreciated stepsister or something like that. I don't know. Garby.
Garby. Garby, who never gets any of the attention from her parents.
Yeah, exactly. Look at me, guys. I'm just as good as Barbie.
Barbie gets all the playhouses and the convertibles. What does Garby get? Nothing.
Here, have a lemonade stand. Earn your keep, kid.
Let's not even get started on Stacy.
Oh, Stacy. Stacy. It's like if there was one called Ken and she called him like Ben or something. No, Ben and Ken, I guess, are fine. They're both kind of like...
They're both
Garby
names.
Just sounds like garbage. You know, it's like, that's it why does. It's so funny to me. It's like garbage.
It makes me think of like the Garbage Pail Kids too. Remember those?
Yeah. Oh, God, yes. I was like collected those like the nerd that I was. So, yeah, that's one of those things like I'm going to, you know... correct her one day. Sometimes I'll just be like, oh, where's your Barbie? You know, like, but when Steve and I are by ourselves, it's 100% Garby because to each other, because it's just too funny. Like, it's a nickname thing she came up with that's hilarious to us. And now Barbies are just Garby. So, yeah.
Oh, for sure. Our version of that is graham crackers. So My guy loves graham crackers, but he calls them graham cracky. Graham cracky, which is just too cute. But I've discovered that Corey and I now, like, you know, I'll be like, baby, do you want a snack? And he goes, graham cracky. And I'll go, okay, here's your graham cracky. And then Corey and I will, like, be talking to each other. The other day I was packing a bag for them to go out to the park. They were He was going to leave me alone in the house. Imagine that.
Ooh, lucky.
And so I was doing them the favor of packing up the snacks. And I told Corey... I was like, oh, so okay, I threw in his water, a couple pouches, and some graham crackies. Just two adults talking to each other.
Using baby talk.
Using baby talk.
It's what happens. It is. It's fun. It's like it becomes an inside joke or like your own family language or something. So I get it.
Well, to this day, my mom and dad would still like refer to my brother as Geeky. His name is Jeffrey, but I guess he couldn't say that when he was a toddler. So he called himself Geeky. And like he's still Geeky to them, basically.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
Not all the time.
The secret's out, Jeff.
Oh, sorry, Jeff. I don't think he minds. My brother is a very open, kind individual. Yeah, and he also doesn't listen to the podcast.
Oh, well, now I'm mad. Just kidding. But yep, exactly. That's pistopus is what we call octopus a lot because that's what Elle called it when she was really little. Like, I don't even know. Like 13 months old. It was one of her first words. Pistopus.
I remember you saying that. Pistopus.
Yeah, awesome. It's just so cute. Anyway, that's all for us this week. What about you guys? How are you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. So I am currently 16 weeks pregnant. And
dang. That's pregnant.
Dang, girl. I'm not just kind of pregnant. I'm getting like actually pregnant.
Yes.
On my way to super pregnant. Oh, I'm also showing like so much more. We've talked about this already, but yeah. It's obvious.
When are you going to share a baby bump pic with our listeners?
Oh, I'm going to have to do that. I haven't been taking them as much because I forget, you know? Mm-hmm. The second pregnancy. Like, last night, Corey asked me how big the baby was, and I was like, I don't know. I guess I could look it up, you know? Like, last pregnancy, I was like, oh, now the baby's an avocado. Now the baby's a banana, you know? Like, every week. I couldn't wait to check what the new size was. And I'm like, I don't know. He's just rolling around in there doing his thing. Chill out.
There's other stuff, just a few other things going on in the outside world to
just a few. Mm-hmm. But I no doctor's appointments or anything this week. But the thing with the pregnancy this week that sucks is that I've talked about my pubic symphysis pain or symphysis pubis pain. Everyone calls it something different, but I'm just going to call it SPD pain. And that is intermittent, not all the time, but when it flares up, it's been getting pretty bad.
No.
Like, there was one day this week where I couldn't balance on one leg to get my pants on without it hurting, like, so bad, which I didn't get there till really late third trimester last time.
Oh, my gosh. And remind me, is it kind of an achy pain or is it sharp shooting pains? What is that like again, especially for people who might be listening and experiencing something similar?
Yeah. I mean, it's not achy all the time. Like, for instance, right now I'm sitting and I don't feel it. I'd say it's more sharp shooty pain.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like when it's really bad when you do anything that needs to like get your hips out of alignment, like, you know, stepping into the car or putting on your pants, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so far it's not like so debilitating that I can't do anything, but the fact that it's happening so early and it's so painful already is, and I should say, it's like right in the front of your pubis. So like there's so many different kinds of hip pain you can get into when you're pregnant. There's a lot of people get sciatica, which is like sort of like on the back outsides or radiates down their legs. Other people will get like round ligament pain, which is in the front. But this is like right down, like sort of like where like the pad above your, you know, your vulva and clitoris and all that stuff, you know, like that spot. It's not like your actual genitals, it's like just right down there. Which I think actually stops a lot of people from talking about it because it's, you know, down there. But it's, and it's not a, it's not genital pain, it's like bone and ligament pain or cartilage pain.
Well, and also I think like I wouldn't even think that there are ligaments and stuff in that area, really. I just picture, I should like, say it's one cartilage. Big piece of bone. Cartilage.
I should say it's cartilage. The, there's round ligaments in the front sort of that attach your hip to your uterus to your hip muscles, I think, or hip bones. I'm not entirely sure. But the pubic symphysis is, so your hips, you know, come around and they meet in the front, but they don't actually touch together in the front. There's a little piece of cartilage between the front of your pubic bones, like on both sides that pad it, right? And it gets stretchy when you're pregnant because everything gets stretchy when you're pregnant because of the relaxin hormone. And it's so easy for the sides of your hips to sort of become like out of line or pull on it or tweak it. Yeah, which is why if you think about like standing on one leg, you know, it pulls, it can pull on one side and not the other. So anyway, so this has just like really put a fire under my ass, like no pun intended, to start doing like the physical therapy and yoga exercises I learned from last pregnancy because I know I need to do them. I know I've complained about or, you know, expressed how I am not good at remembering to do that. But now I have like the my yoga block next to my bed. So every night I can do the little exercise I have where like you press in with your knees on the yoga block. And so, yeah, I'm just trying to focus on doing that. So
you got this.
I hope so. I just don't want to end up like in a wheelchair, which is apparently something that happens to people at the end of pregnancy if they have really bad pain. So,
yeah.
Aiming to keep walking.
Okay. Yes.
Anyways, that's a bummer. But anyway, it's I think it's so common. I think a lot of people have never heard of it. I certainly had never heard of it before my last pregnancy. So I'd like to get it out in the open, talk about it. And also, if I talk about it on the podcast, I know that you're going to check in and ask me if I've been doing my exercises. So
yes, I am.
I need that accountability.
You got it.
All right, cool. So on the toddler front, it's so funny you talk about the whole like independence thing and how Cece's turning into a bit of a daredevil because my toddler is such a daredevil. Like it's insane and it's fun, but also terrifying, like you said. And I've discovered, I think he's like a kid who likes sort of, like, I think he's going to love roller coasters. I think he loves anything that kind of alters his physical state, you know, like he loves spinning. He'll just spin and spin and spin and spin, and then he'll spin the other way. He's like you know, remember that college drinking game where you like spin around and then you try to run in a straight line or whatever?
Like you put your head on a baseball bat or something and spin around and then try to run.
This is basically like every day at our house. He just spins and spins and spins, and then he like tries to walk, and he thinks it's so funny.
And he's gonna fit right in college frats, so perfect.
Oh no!
Sorry, I just said that to get your goat.
Yes, I know, I know, I know. No, I mean it's fine. He can do whatever he wants that makes him happy, as long as it's safe, not hurting others, but. His new iteration. Oh, and the other thing he likes doing is he loves being like flipped upside down. And one of the things he begs me to do now is like he wants me to pick him up, flip him upside down, and then like lower him down to the floor by his legs so he can put his arms out and do like a little somersault.
Oh,
and he wants to do that like a million times in a row.
That's like some gymnastic stuff right there. Like that stuff we used to do at my gym. This kid needs to maybe get in gymnastics.
If it wasn't a pandemic, he would be in gymnastics class right now.
Yeah.
Right now. I know. It does suck. But yeah, I'm definitely have eyes on like getting him into gymnastics as soon as possible. And yeah, he loves that stuff. But his newest thing this week is that he's discovered that it's fun for him, not for me, but for him, to walk around with his eyes closed.
Oh.
Just for shits and giggles.
My God. Yep. That is a toddler pastime. Cece puts a blanket on her head or anything on her head.
Oh, my God.
And walks around. But I can only imagine, like, your guy just craving this experience.
Well, you know, you don't even need a blanket. You can just close your eyes anytime.
She hasn't
just
discovered that yet.
Walk right into walls and corners and everything.
Oh, God.
And he just, it's hard to be upset. I'm not upset, but it's just like, it's hard to not be scared because he walks right towards like the corner of furniture stuff, you know?
And you're just like, gosh. You can get him one of those like head bumper helmets that they make for like toddlers learning to walk. Have you seen these?
Oh,
it's like
God.
A big, soft, cushiony pillow hat helmet. There you go.
Well, thankfully, problem things solved. Are pretty safe. Like, I think there's nothing that could actually kill him. So I think he might need to learn to have some bongs.
Yeah.
Actually, this is an interesting segue because I have noticed something about when he does get a bonk or an injury, which I wanted to talk about. This is the last thing I wanted to talk about today, which is whenever he gets, like, hurt from, like, slipping and falling, for instance. I'll have a specific example. The other night before bed, he was, like, dancing around in his room before bed with naked, of course, and, like, before we got jammies on him. And he slipped on the hardwood and, like, face planted, basically. Mm-hmm. No blood or anything, but it was a pretty hard bonk, right?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have liked it. And so he, of course, starts crying, the real cry, the like fat tears and really upset. So I go pick him up and I'm trying to comfort him. And he's always trying to wriggle away from me. And I have now realized that the reason he wants to wriggle away, like at first he lets me comfort him, give him kisses and say, that hurt, huh, honey? Is that really scary and all that stuff. But then he wants to get away. He'll go like down, down, down. And I'm like, okay. And I put him down and he immediately walks back to the location where he fell and like got on his hands and knees and like gently bonked his head against the ground. Like, and he does this every time. He always has to return to the scene of the crime and like replay what happened.
Yeah. That's interesting. You know, I wonder, do you think maybe he's like apologizing?
Ooh, or to the floor?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just trying to think because my girls do not do this. But I'm thinking like when one of them accidentally hurts the other, they get hurt together, one will come back and like kind of hug and sympathize with the other. Or do you think he like wants to recreate the pain and experience?
Well, I don't think he wants to recreate the pain. I think I think he's processing though. Like I think what it is, and because he wants us to see it too. Like that's part of it. He goes back and he like will do like a light tap of his head on the ground and like look at us and we'll be like, yeah, that's where you fell. And he kind of will smile after that. So like it's like he has to process what happened by like recreating it. Like an
that's
acting
interesting.
Class.
Yeah. A future acting gymnast you have on your hand, a future gymnastic actor. I don't know.
Ooh, Cirque du Soleil. There you go.
Perfecto. Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah, but I think it's super fascinating from a sort of like emotional standpoint that he needs to go back and recreate. And he's done this a bunch of times. It's not just this one time that I was using as an example. He always has to go back and just have a little like moment of recreating what happened. It's almost like he's conquering his fears too.
Yes. Maybe his
super
way of being in control of a situation that was out of his control. He's like, I can.
Yeah, that's possible. But
that's
it's also
really
cool because it means he's not like, I think I've talked about this on the show, that how he's like sort of conquered his fears with like beach balls and stuff, like random things. He's really good at not like just being afraid of something and never wanting to see it again. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I think I talked about this with the bird and my mom's bird, right?
Oh, that's
in the
right.
On the podcast. Mm-hmm. The bird kind of snapped at him and he got scared and cried. When we went back inside, he had to go back and see the bird.
Oh, wow.
Like, he was like, cheep, 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 cheep. He had to go see it. It's like he has to conquer his fears.
Ooh.
It was super interesting to me.
That's cool. That's a very cool personality trait. He's like a complex little dude.
I know. He has all these complex emotions and feelings and thoughts. And
is he a human?
Where's my little baby?
Oh, yes.
He is also a human, yeah.
Yes, he is.
I know, but it is so, it's just so cool to watch it emerge, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what you're going to get with these little ones, so what kind of personalities they're going to have, and watching them develop, it's just, it's fascinating.
It is fascinating. I love it.
I love it too. But anyway, that's about it for us this week. Thankfully, there were no serious bonks.
Good.
But do you want to take a quick break and then come back with our special segment?
Yeah. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too, and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back, and this week's special segment is Today I Learned, one of our favorite special segments where we share with you and each other interesting tidbits that we've learned recently about pregnancy, parenting, kids, babies, the whole nine yards. Laura, what do you got for us?
Okay, so this week I read this interesting article that definitely spoke to me. It was from The Romper.
Uh-huh.
And the headline is, "A toddler obsessed with trucks is just good development, experts say."
Well, that's good, seeing as you have a truck-obsessed toddler.
I do. You know, it's not like we did anything specific to encourage this. But so here's what they say. If your toddler is constantly drawn to trucks big and small, can regurgitate obscure facts about trucks, and knows the different noises of each type of truck by heart, they have what scientists refer to as an extremely intense interest, EII.
No. What? E-I-I. This sounds like satire.
It is not.
I mean, it's like no shit, right?
Yeah, but I mean, but you have to, but I guess it's about what the EII is. Like, it could be like dolls, it could be trucks. But they do say that they found, It said they found that an EII in vehicles with wheels is among the most common in young children, which totally tracks, right?
Uh huh.
Kids are obsessed with trucks, I think, across the board.
Yeah, and yeah. Cece loves pointing out trucks. I mean, when we go for walks, it's like anything that's not an obvious car is a truck. You know, van,
yes.
Garbage truck, everything is a truck. Mm-hmm.
So, and it's actually been helpful for car rides lately because there's trucks on the road, it turns out. So uh-huh. You can see all kinds of cool trucks. So that's been nice.
Yes.
But I had, like, you know, I try to roll with his interests and everything, but I definitely had this moment where I was like, oh my God, like, he's so freaking obsessed with trucks. Like, you know, his dump truck toy is his favorite. And he just, like, anytime he hears, like, a larger car go by, he runs to the window. It's tuck, tuck, tuck. You know, like, yes, kid, there's a truck. So this article, you know, spoke to me because it was about how it's, like, good for development. So there were a couple things that the expert they interviewed said about it. Here's a quote. "Playing with toy trucks is great for hand-eye coordination and fine motor skills. And if they're playing in a large area and getting in a crawling position, this can engage their core and build shoulder stability as well. It can also improve skills in motor planning and spatial awareness as the toy goes above, behind, or through a bridge." Mm. So I'm like, dump truck is learning. Mm-hmm. I knew that, but we also have this big Richard Scarry book that's like, it's called Cars and Trucks and Things That Go, and it's like, it's big, it's like 12 inches by 12 inches, it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And he's obsessed with this book and like has to point out every different type of truck and is starting to make the noises of every different truck. It's just like, I'm getting a little sick of trucks, I must say.
So do you think this article is saying, like, toddlers are this obsessed with trucks because it's good for their learning, not necessarily because they're developing a lifelong passion in which they're going to be an antique truck collector or truck driver or something like that?
Yes, that's actually, they specifically address that. Yeah, they're saying that, like, having an EII, extremely intense interest, doesn't actually translate into like necessarily future job and career interests. Mm-hmm. They said that actually most children's obsessions wane anywhere between 6 months and 3 years after the interest began.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, so you probably don't have to worry about your child yelling as loud as they possibly can every time they see a dump truck for the rest of their lives.
Oh, that's good. Oh, man. Yeah, he's just 18 at his graduation.
Yeah.
Truck!
Truck! Hey, Mom, look at this. There's a truck over there. Yep. Yeah, baby, could you, like, accept your diploma and shake your principal's hand? It's a dump truck! I mean...
yeah.
I do have to say it's kind of permeated my life in a way, too, where, like, if I'm out without him, you know, going running an errand or something, and there's a cool truck... I get, like, sad that I can't point it out to him.
Aww.
I'm like, whoa, that, like, that's a big old construction truck, and uh-huh. he's missing it.
Aw, that's so cute. Aw, you could take a picture of it and show him later, I guess.
I could. There's also, if you're interested, there's a show on Amazon called Lots and Lots of Trucks, which... Like, it's basically stock footage of trucks, like all kinds of different trucks, set to, like, really pleasant kids' music. But if you are in a pinch and your child also has an EII in trucks and you really need them to sit still for 20 to 30 minutes, Amazon Prime Video, Lots and Lots of Trucks, is your key to being able to make dinner, let me tell you.
Well, I might have to check that out. It's got me thinking, I wonder what my kids' EIIs are, because I don't know that they've had such an intense passion for something like that. Like, Susie's interested in trucks. She always wants to watch the garbage truck, but definitely not into it to the degree as your guy. And like,
she's not thinking about it in off times.
I don't think she's thinking about it in off times. No.
Because, like, sometimes he'll just be like, truck? And I'll be like, yeah, trucks exist.
Like, oh, my God. He's just thinking about trucks. Oh, that's so cute. Oh, my God.
Well, it does say that not every kid has an EII.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. My girls might fall in that category, unless just TV in general counts. Elle's very interested in TV. It's like, she would probably watch it all day, every day, if I let her.
I mean, girl, same.
I know, right?
So anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. And it's nice to know that he might develop more broad interests as time goes on.
Yes, so. Exactly.
Anyway, all right. What do you have for us for our Today I Learned?
Okay, so I recently learned about something called Mother's Kiss. Do you know about this?
No.
If you were to take a wild guess of what Mother's Kiss is, what comes to mind? What would you think I'm about to talk about?
Okay, well, I'm going to have to think way beyond being literal, because obviously you're not going to talk about just like getting little kisses from your baby.
Yeah,
which I know we're both very pro baby kiss.
Uh-huh.
Mother's Kiss. Ooh, I don't know. Does that have something to do with disease?
It does not. Okay.
Okay. Then I'm stumped. I don't know what what the hell you're talking about.
All right. So here's a hypothetical situation. Say your baby or toddler is eating lunch and starts getting curious with her food, her little bites of apple that you've cut up for her, and pushes one up into her nostril and it gets stuck there.
Oh.
What would a person do? What would a parent do in that situation? Well, a lot of people go straight to the ER, right? Like, the thing is lodged in their nose and they can't get it out. Well, the mother's kiss is a method that doesn't require forceps or anything like being stuck up there to try to pull it out. It's basically like the reverse nose Frida, kind of.
Okay.
So you
is it a product or just a process?
No, it's a technique. This is free, baby. You put one finger over the uninhibited nostril, so pinch off the one that's breathing, put your mouth over the baby's mouth, and blow forcefully, and it should just blow that piece of apple right out of her nose.
Oh.
So it's a way... Interesting. Yeah, it's a way of saving yourself a trip to the doctor, the ER. Of course, you know, doctors are like, maybe you shouldn't try it on your own. Maybe you should do it in you know, in the presence of a doctor. But I don't know. Maybe it's also a first good line of defense. The reason I learned about it is because someone in my mom's group posted about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because she used that technique. He got like a bean or something stuck up his nose.
Oh.
And she just like blew on his mouth and the bean came flying out. And like that was that. It was easy as pie.
I guess I'm wondering why the air doesn't go into the lungs though. Like, I guess the kid must stop that like naturally.
Maybe it goes into the lungs and the nose because it's all connected.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's all connected unless they actively, you know, stick their tongue back to stop it. But, I have not heard of that. It makes sense.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
So
I guess
I
hope to not have to use it. Exactly. Have you ever had to use it?
Right after I learned about this and I had this nugget in the back of my mind, Cece was eating lunch and playing with the apple chunks. So it was not such a hypothetical situation.
Not a hypothetical.
Not a hypothetical situation. We noticed she's like clawing at her nose, very irritated.
Oh, God.
And, you know, we're like, oh, my God, did she stick something up her nose? And I was just about to be like, oh, okay, we got to try this mother's kiss. And I was like, game. Uh-huh. And she sneezed really hard and a piece of apple came flying out of her nose. I guess same concept, just self-induced.
Yeah, yeah, totally. she self-kissed.
Yeah, self-kiss. There you go. AKA sneeze with apple in your nose.
Did that upset her?
The having it sneeze out?
Yeah.
No, she was relieved. It was like, she was much better after it came flying out. And I think it like landed on Steve's face or something. He's like, oh, thank God it landed on my face. Otherwise, I would have never known what was going on.
Oh, my God.
Oh, being a parent.
Actually, my guy isn't, he loves to stick his fingers up his nose, but he hasn't started putting other objects up his nose. Knock on wood. I can't believe I said that out loud. My God. Yeah. I just jinxed the hell out of it. But yeah, but it's good to know. That seems like a good option.
Yeah. So there you go. Just in case you ever need it. Mother's kiss.
Mother's kiss.
I guess it could be a father's kiss too. You know?
Yes.
But, yeah. So, okay. So do you have another one for us?
Yeah. So I have another one. Do you know what a lotus birth is?
Oh, yes, I do. I think, does it have to do with like having your placenta set in a dish next to you or something?
Yes. Okay.
It
so
does?
I have
okay.
learned. Yes. Okay. So a lotus birth is also called umbilical cord non-severance.
Uh-huh.
Is the practice of leaving the umbilical cord uncut after childbirth so the baby is left attached to the placenta until the cord naturally separates from the umbilicus.
What's the umbilicus?
This,
huh?
Your belly button.
Check.
So instead of cutting the cord and then letting the little like nub fall off, right?
Uh-huh.
You wait for the whole placenta to fall off.
I'm sorry. That took 2 weeks with my baby. Are you telling me?
Did that take 2 weeks?
A week at least.
Yeah, well, according to Wikipedia, this usually occurs within 3 to 10 days after birth. So, yes.
You need to just diaper up the placenta with, like, where does it go? I'm so confused.
You literally have to have a, like, dish next to you with the placenta at all times until it falls off.
Okay.
It seems at best impractical.
Very impractical. Why do people do it? What's the supposed benefit?
Well, you know, there's all kinds of reasons that people claim. It's like, that they get more nutrition from it, that, you know, there's a spiritual element to the placenta and that you shouldn't be interfering with it, that sort of thing, you know?
Uh-huh.
None of it has any real science-based evidence, obviously, like evidence-based reasoning.
Because it stops working, right? After it's out of your body, does it even do anything? Isn't it just dying? I mean, I was like 39 weeks pregnant and they were like, your placenta's like kind of starting to die already. I'm so confused.
Yeah. So actually there's this article on fatherly.com, uh-huh. which is called Why Lotus Birth is a Pretty Terrible Idea. And I have to say that usually on this podcast, we're pretty open to people's different choices when it comes to birth. And this is one that I just can't see the pro side because it's extremely dangerous. So in this fatherly article, they talked about a woman, her name was Adele Allen, and she had a lotus birth. Mm-hmm. And she described herself as a free-range parent. And mm-hmm. she said that her lotus birth was a lovely 6-day period of bonding and closeness, and went on to describing washing and wrapping the placenta, which was kept in a waterproof pouch. And the author of the article goes on to say, and perhaps it would be lovely if the placenta wasn't literally a decaying organ crawling with disease.
That's all I could think of. I just kept wanting mm-hmm. to chime in and be like, but isn't it like a rotting organ that's not doing yeah. anything?
Okay. Well, so this OBGYN named Jennifer Guttner uh-huh. In this article was quoted to say, why anyone with an understanding of modern microbiology would promote leaving a newborn attached to a dead, decomposing tissue that could be a source of infection is beyond me.
Yeah.
And it's also beyond me. So I think maybe people get confused by this a little bit because there is evidence about delayed cord clamping.
Okay, so it's different.
Have we talked about delayed cord clamping? Yeah. There's a difference between cutting the cord, you know, so it used to be that you'd get the baby out, you cut the cord right away, hand it over. And then there's been more evidence recently that if you delay clamping by a couple minutes, mm-hmm. we're talking about like up to 5 minutes. I don't know. Some people may do it a little bit longer. It can raise the hemoglobin levels in babies, right? Mm. And especially preemie babies. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty common. I didn't notice it at the time, but when I went back to watch the video of my C-section birth, mm-hmm. my doctor said, okay, delaying clamping of the cord. And I think he waited like a minute or two. Mm. And the idea is that, you know, you just get a little bit more of the maternal blood into the baby mm-hmm. before you cut it off, right?
Right.
So it's pretty common and I think standard to do a little bit of delayed cord clamping. That's minutes. This mm-hmm. is days.
Wow.
And, yeah,
the smell. So. It's got to smell so bad. I'm sorry. I'm just like a gross, easily grossed out person and I just can't stop thinking about all like the gross out factors of this situation.
Well, I don't know. Did you get to see your placenta?
No.
I didn't get to see mine in person, but my mom thankfully took a picture of it because I really wanted to see it.
Uh-huh.
It's not something I want to lug around.
Outside your body. I mean, you're lugging it around on 9 months.
I know. I got one right now, but like mm-hmm. it's a, but you know, I don't want to have it sitting next to me. Plus, like, you know, you're very careful with that little umbilical cord stump with the newborns. Remember, you have to fold the little diaper down and you don't want to pull on it because you don't want to injure it. And like, how easy would it be to like pick up the baby and
trip over it?
Oh my God, trip over it. Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
Oh my God. But so if anyone's thinking we're being overly judgmental about this, and we are being judgmental, like I fully own that, but it's because it's pretty clear that this is extremely unsafe. So,
yeah, I've got to imagine it can lead to infections and like very serious consequences for the baby. Yeah.
Yeah. So like in 2008, the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, which I think is the UK version of the, you know, doctors group for OBGYNs, warned about the risks of infection since the placental tissue is decomposing and it becomes a nest for infectious bacteria such as Staphylococcus. Mm. And staph is not good. So mm-hmm. there was one case reported where a 20-hour-old baby whose parents chose to do a lotus birth was brought to the hospital and diagnosed with sepsis and required 6 weeks of antibiotics.
Oh, man.
That's for a baby that's less than a day old. Yeah. So, yeah.
So not, you know, not recommended, not Shauna and Laura approved.
I think we can officially, we try to stay open-minded, but this one is a big no from us.
I think so. Look, you can encapsulate your placenta, you can delay cord clamping, you can do all that jazz, plant it under a tree.
You can make art out of it. I know people.
Yes.
Yeah, people make art that's really actually kind of pretty. I'm fascinated by the placenta. I think it's super cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, please just don't leave it attached to your baby for 3 to 10 days.
Yes.
That's no thank you. So we just lost so many listeners.
I think so. Oh no.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I shouldn't be so judgmental. It's just like my gut reaction is just very anti this. But mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe listeners, do you know more about this? Am I like just wildly misinformed about Lotus Birth and need more information? Like, let me know.
Yeah, let us know.
I want to be open-minded about it. It's just, mm-hmm. it's hard to see the, I just don't see the upside. Mm-hmm. I don't think you do either, right, Shauna? So,
no, I don't think so based on my limited research, which is none. Yes. Listening to you.
Which is all my opinions. Okay, so yeah. Yes, listeners, please, please, please. I don't want you to hate me if you're like all about the Lotus Birth and you think I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, which is probably true. So send us more information. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and let me know.
Yes.
What don't I know about Lotus Birth?
Let us know.
Yes, please do. Okay. So, okay. Should we take a break and come back with our your next Today I Learned, which hopefully shouldn't be so controversial.
It's extremely controversial. Sit back and wait.
Ooh. All right.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Oh, Okay, we are back. And Shauna, you've got one more Today I Learned for us.
I do. And I would venture to say it's not controversial at all. I'm so sorry for those of you I strung along. Although there might be some controversy between people who are in different camps of pregnancy tests, like which you prefer. Because I know I tried to conceive for so long that I just use those cheapo Wando ones or whatever off of
Wandfro.
Yeah, from Amazon. Yeah. And some people are big into like the digital ones that like literally say pregnant or not pregnant. So this is where the controversy lies, Laura.
Okay.
All right. So someone, I'm not going to lie, this is just like some tech gadget dude on Twitter. I'm not even sure why this made an article, except it is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. So he's this guy that was like, I want to find out what's at the bottom of digital pregnancy tests and are they worth the money? Because I think they're like maybe like $7 to $8 a pop, right? Whereas those little strips are like 30 cents.
Yeah, or less. I mean, if depending on how many you buy.
Yeah.
I think at some point I bought like 100 and they were like 5 cents a piece or something.
Laura Bierick buying bulk pregnancy tests since 1995. Oh, wait, you
weren't. It's true.
Okay.
Oh, no, not. I mean, I was 13 and 19, so hopefully not since 1995.
Yeah.
But no, definitely since like the early aughts, I just liked having, you know, I was on birth control that stopped my period. So I needed to just have a quick way to make sure. And I did.
That's smart.
But also I became like everyone's pregnancy test like source. So anytime anyone was thought they might be pregnant, they knew they could just come to me. I can't tell you how many friends I've given pregnancy tests to over the years.
Aww.
So
you're the pregnancy there you test go. Friend. That's so nice. I think you gave me a handful of them, too, at one point. So
I'm sure I
did.
Well, it turns out they expire. So, like, buying 100 if you're not trying to conceive might not be the best plan.
True. Okay, so anyway.
Okay, so tell me about these digital tests.
I guess this Twitter guy, his handle is Foon. Okay. Just so
Foon?
You
know, F-O-O-N?
F-O-O-N-E, at Foon, decided he wanted to get to the bottom of what's going on inside of a digital pregnancy test, whether it's worth the cost. And so he broke it apart, figured out what was going on, and basically all it is one of those little paper test strips inside. That it's the same exact test as you would take at a doctor's office or that we would buy on Amazon, right? So that's kind of surprising.
It's not blowing my mind because I cracked mine open.
Can I tell
you about this?
I figured this would not come as too much of a surprise to you, but I didn't know
about
that.
I have a picture of it.
Whoa.
I can find it and post it. Actually, here, do you want to see?
Yeah.
While I'm scrolling, I'll tell you. So when I was trying to conceive most recently, you can hear all about it in our bonus TTC episode. I had a bunch of those cheap tests, but I also bought some Frares, as they're known, first response, early response, I think it was like that, F-R-E-R. And it turns out I bought them on Amazon, so I wasn't like paying close attention. And they come in like a two pack where you have like one normal strip and one digital. And I had never intentionally bought those digital ones before. So when I was like, I don't know, 11 DPO or something, I thought I would take it just to see what it said. And that's actually the picture I sent you was of the digital one, because it is nice how it displays like yes instead of like having to interpret lines and whatever.
It's very handy clear. For sharing with people. Some of them just straight up say pregnant, some say yes, as opposed to like, is it a plus or what?
Exactly. But I wanted to see like what was going on behind the scenes, like why it said yes. And, you know, I obsess over the darkness of the lines when I'm trying to conceive and all that stuff.
Are you actually at Foon, Laura? Are you this Twitter gadget nerd? I found out.
You figured me out. How did you know?
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, so I took like a screwdriver and cracked it open because I wanted to see what was inside.
I love that you did that. That's literally never crossed my mind with all the pregnancy tests I've taken in my life.
Okay, I found it. I'm sending it to you.
Okay. Oh, yep. One of those strips. I recognize those strips right inside.
Yeah, so it's just, it just looks, we'll post it on our Instagram or something, but it just looks like one of those strips. The lines are spaced a little further out than usual, I feel like.
Yeah, I think they are. And I think maybe that helps the processor that's inside. Because that's the other thing I mm-hmm. learned in this article, is that the other part of it is basically like a tiny little computer that has more processing power than the first IBM computer, is what this guy was saying. He's like, each little pregnancy test is that.
Can you imagine powerful. Going back to the 60s, going into like a room that's a computer, right? Mm-hmm. And being like, oh, hey, I'm from 2020. And they're like, oh, how is it? And like, oh, well, 2020 sucks. But specifically, I pee on a stick that is more powerful than this computer.
Than this entire room that you've dedicated your life to. Yeah, I pee on it yeah. and throw it away like it's NBD.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, and I have a little mini computer in my pocket that I take pictures of it and then can send it to anyone in the world at any time.
I know. Oh my God. We're so futuristic.
Talk to you later. Anyway, invest in Apple stock and buy a mask factory. So
mask factory.
There you go.
Like, what?
Back to 2020. Actually, if I had a time machine, I would, I don't think I'd go back to 2020. I think I'd pack my whole family and and like jump ahead a little bit.
Skip ahead. Well, but then you'd miss all those great little toddler and preschool years.
No, no, no. They'd be with me. They'd be with me.
Oh,
so we just
okay,
jump
go.
Ahead.
Smart, smart.
No,
smart.
No, I wouldn't. I would, there's no time machine that would be powerful enough to make me leave my little baby behind.
Aww.
Never, never, never.
Maybe in 20 years, a time machine will fit in our pocket and we can travel on it as easily as we pee on pregnancy sticks now.
Maybe. Or maybe we won't have to take planes. We could just teleport. That's what I want.
Oh my
I just
God.
Want to be able to like go places easily.
Oh, that would be so great. Anyway, we are off topic. So
sure are.
There's not much really else to say about this, except it is interesting. Like, do we really need to be creating all this digital waste? You know, mm-hmm. not to mention all of the plastic that encases in all this stuff, when really the same result can be achieved by just peeing on one of those strips. I don't know. I mean, it is fun. It's fun to show people and share people a more traditional pregnancy test. But yeah,
well,
I don't
know. I think I do think a lot of people don't know that like the dollar store pregnancy test is exactly the same technology and just as accurate mm-hmm. as the like expensive versions.
That
you know?
Is interesting. Yeah, because they are expensive.
They are very expensive. And you know, what you're paying for, like you said, is the packaging and the marketing mm-hmm. of it, basically.
Yes.
And for digital, there's technology involved, but
absolutely.
You don't need it.
You don't need
it.
We should post a link to these little paper strips we're talking about, because if anyone out there isn't aware of it and wants to get in on the strip pregnancy test game, we should hook them up with some info.
Yeah, for sure. They're so easily available. I will say that the one downside is it doesn't have like as big of an absorbent tip. So you have to like pee in a little cup or something and dip
right.
it in.
Right.
Yeah. So if you don't like that, mm-hmm. maybe the bigger, you know, the bigger digital ones have like a big tip you can stick right into your pee stream. But here's the thing. I have to say that, like, if you are trying to get pregnant, if you're not taking the tests because you don't want to be pregnant, but if you're taking them because you want to be pregnant, you're just going to have to get used to peeing in a cup anyway.
Yes.
Because you have to do that every doctor's visit.
Every doctor's visit. Yes, if you do the paper strips at home. You know what I did when I found out I was pregnant with Al? I knew it was about time that I needed to check, and I had missed my period, and I had one of those with me, but I was on a trip. I was in a cabin, and, like, I didn't really have a cup handy. So, you mm-hmm. know, they come in like a little metal foil wrapper. I just like ripped the top off. I peed a little bit into the foil wrapper.
You're a genius. No, that's amazing.
Dipped it in and then, yeah. So that's a great hack, I guess. Now seeing your reaction to it.
That is. No, it is amazing. You're a complete genius, and everyone should just be doing that. It seems easier than even finding a cup.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so I think that's all we have for today, I learned. Should we just move on to our BFPs and BFNs?
I think we should. Okay, Shauna,
yeah.
We close every show with our big fat positives or big fat negatives of the week. Do you have a BFP or a BFN for us today?
I have a BFP.
Yeah.
It's an unexpected BFP. I think I'm these days finding useful ways to use ordinary products, like in a mother's life.
Yeah. Like your pea strip wrapper?
Yeah, exactly. And like that Reacher grabber I was talking about last week.
Oh, by the way, I got one.
You did?
You know how I was, yeah, you know how I was like, I'm ordering one today. I wasn't just saying that to be cute for the podcast. Like I have one. It's great.
That's awesome. I love that we are Reacher grabber sisters now. That's cool.
Well, and my toddler loves to walk around with it too, so.
Oh, yes. It is a hit with added the kids. Bonus. Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah. So anyway, this week, my BFP is a double shower head because we got a new one recently, right? So we've had this old shower head in our bathroom, and Steve got a new one, and it's like way fancier than any shower head I've ever had in my life. It's like this really big, round, like rain-producing one, and and then there's one that's connected to like a hose, right? But then like the shower head that's connected to the hose, you can connect with a magnet up at top, whatever. And water can come out both of them at the same time. You guys are probably like, no shit, Shauna, that technology was invented like 20 years ago. But, okay, so what I've discovered, we've had this for a while, but I discovered that it's great for when you are like showering with your kids, right? So we go swimming a lot with our pool, our above ground pool. And right after the pool, I need to shower off Cece especially because her skin is so sensitive and I want to get the chlorine off.
That's right, yeah.
So the two of us will just hop in the shower and like I can get the water from the big one and then like I can use that hose and like hose her off down there and she can play with the hose and like no one's cold and left out of the water. And then we just take like a quick little shower and then we're done and we can move on. And to me, it's a revelation. Maybe you guys have already all figured this out, but I love it. I mean, real excited about it.
I'm like a step behind in that. Couple months ago, I went and got like just the shower head on the hose that you can like pick up and bring down because I realized like we need it for hosing them off sometimes. You know, you just need, turns out with kids, you just need to hose them off sometimes. And it's great for bath too because he really likes just turning it on sometimes and having that be part of the bath. It's sort of a fun diversion. So, but you're leveled up.
I leveled up. It's great. It's a time saver. It's a water saver, which is good for us because we're putting all our water in that damn pool when we refill it every couple weeks.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. And the showers are fun. The kids really like taking showers. We started it recently with the swimming stuff and they sit down there and play with toys and they think the shower sprayer is hilarious. And yeah, so it's great. The one I have specifically is called Moen, M-O-E-N. It's the Moen Attract because that the handheld part attracts with a magnet up to the top. So highly recommend it.
Cool, cool.
Yeah. What about you? What do you got for us?
Okay, so I have a BFP as well. And mine is this website called Mama Strong. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's M-O-M-M-A strong.com. And it was recommended to me by one of my Facebook moms groups. And what I like about it is I signed up for it months and months and months ago. And it's like $5 a month for a library of basically like exercise classes that are designed for moms, for pregnant people, moms, or whatever, like people in that demographic. But you know, I didn't really care much about it. And I honestly did not use it for months. And then when I finally like decided I was wasting money on it because I just never was using it, because I'm the type of person who like, I need a class to be, I'm an obliger, if you know Gretchen Rubin's tendencies, like I need accountability and online workouts aren't my thing. And I didn't want to lose weight. Like one thing I really love about it is that it has like zero focus on weight loss, which I really love. It's all about like building up strength. And it has all these like focus programs based on what you need, but it's not about lose that postpartum weight, which I fucking hate. Like, see last week's interview with Jen McClellan for reasons why. So I love the theme of it, but I was never using it. So I went to go log on so I could cancel my account after who knows how many months of paying for it without using it. And I discovered that, okay, so here are the sections they have. So they say like there's get started where you just like, I'm new here. What do I do? There's a section for mamas to be for any phase of pregnancy. They have a section called hazy days. So that's for moms who have just given birth to 8 weeks postpartum. So it's like very specific areas. Then there's new mamas. So between 8 weeks and 12 months. And then there's Mama, so who are like 6 months postpartum and further on, and says like even decades, you know? And then they have like 5 minute hacks and like downloads that you can take do when there's no Wi-Fi available. But the one that really caught my eye was there was this section called Fix Me's. And Fix Me's are here to address the aches, pains, and discomforts that keep you from showing up to exercise.
Oh.
So before I canceled, I clicked on it, and lo and behold, they have a Fix Me for pelvic and pubic pain.
Oh my gosh. And
I was like, oh shit, this is exactly what I need. That's like exactly what I need.
Oh my God, that's exactly what you need. So have you done any of it?
I did it once so far. I need to do it more. It's about a half hour. It's like 25 minutes long. And it's actually very charming. Like the woman who's doing the instructions, she has a puppy running around the whole time, like getting in the way. And it uses stuff in the house. Like you use a chair, a book. Like there's all the stuff that you just have around. So it was really good. But you know, it's the Fix Me's. There's a ton of them. So
what are some other examples?
So they have like a breastfeeding one to help you be like more ergonomic with your breastfeeding.
Ooh.
Super interesting. There's one for anxiety, but they also have like ankles, breathing. They have glutes, hip flexors, like back, knees, anything. But they also have one that's really interesting called Loss. That's about miscarriage, infertility, and stillbirth.
Oh, that's good.
So it's all very, I mean, there's, I'm just scrolling. There's like pelvic floor. There's like a whole series on pelvic floor restore stuff if you just feel like you really can't get started. So, I mean, there's just, it looks like 100 like different ones. Some of them are split up into multiple days. Like if you're having incontinence problems, apparently they have like a 7 day plan.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And this is all for $5 a month, which is amazing. And I had no idea how much content was on here. So I did not cancel my account, in fact. And I'm looking forward to like maybe using these and trying to use this sort of through prenatal and postpartum. I can see this being super helpful postpartum. They have a whole series on diastasis recti or hernias. So I wanted to bring it up because I feel like I hadn't really heard of it, and I feel like it would be really helpful for a lot of our listeners. So Mama Strong. And this is not an ad. We get nothing from recommending it to you.
That's cool. I wish I would have known about that when I was pregnant and postpartum. I mean, I'm still going to check it out now because that sounds really neat. And I love that idea. Love that someone's doing that.
Yeah, it seems like a great, like their tagline is motherhood is an action sport.
Yes, love it.
It's so true. Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Highly recommend.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Yeah. And that's the show, I think.
I think it is. Listeners, if you have any BFPs to share with us or any interesting information that you've learned recently, we want to know your Today I Learned. Or if you have opinions on Laura's strong opinion on Lotus Birth, let us know. Please reach out. We love hearing from you. Laura, where can they reach us?
We are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com. You could also send us a voice memo. We love those. Or just a plain old email to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. Or join our Facebook community group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community. It's a private group, so we have to add you in. Please, please, please answer the two questions. It's just where you found us and whether you agree to our rules. And if you answer both of those, we'll send you right through and you can join in on all the really great conversations we're having in there about pregnancy, parenthood, and also just cute baby pictures.
Lots of cute baby pictures. I love it. And if you love our show, please rate and review us wherever you listen. It's so helpful for us to have your 5-star reviews and your kind words out there so that other listeners who are looking for a pregnancy or parenting show will feel encouraged to give our show a shot. So thank you. Thank you for doing that. And spread the word. Let your friends know about Big Fat Positive. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.